registered, BC-based, volunteer-run educational charity. Tax-deductible receipts are available. Donations make great gifts for Christmas, graduation, anniversaries, promotions, etc. Gift cards are available. More information at www.kenyaeducation.org, or you can call us at 604-415-9397, day or evening.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. This is CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus in Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Dr. Marilyn Rossner. She is the founder and president of the Spiritual Science Fellowship and vice president and co-founder of the Integral Institute, the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences. She's a retired professor of special care counseling at Vanier College in Montreal and served on the faculties of McGill and Concordia University. And Marilyn is an award-winning children's behavior therapist, a world-renowned intuitive and visionary, an interfaith minister, and the organizer of the IIIHS conferences. And there's another one happening this year in Montreal. She's shared her magnificent gifts of the spirit throughout the world and is known for her uplifting messages from the spiritual world and her visions of what is significant in life now. And she is here today to speak with us. Welcome to the show, Marilyn.
Thank you very much. I'm very honored to have the opportunity to speak with you and to be on your show.
Thank you so much. And before we started the interview, you mentioned, I believe, that this is your 42nd conference?
Yes, it's our 42nd international conference. The first year that it began, we actually had as our founders, along with my husband, Hans Selye, Marshall McLuhan, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, those kinds of people. And there were 10,000 people that attended our first conference.
Wow.
It was held at Concordia University over a 10-day period, and it made history all over North America.
Wow, that is beautiful. And this year, you have some amazing guests, including Dr. Patch Adams.
Yes, we do. Patch Adams has been with us before, but we're very honored to have him with us again this year. And as I said, we have over 60 speakers, but some of the ones that I think most people are very interested in, besides Patch Adams, are people like Dr. Raymond Moody, who is considered the great grandfather of all this research on life after death. We have the neurologist, Dr. Evan Alexander. We have people from medicine like Dr. Frank Sinatra. We have people from consciousness and future studies, future sciences, like Dr. Hertog. As I say, the list is wonderful. We also have the very, very well-known and respected Venerable Dianu. Well, she's a Buddhist venerable. And we have a rabbi. We have a Muslim. We have every religion, every walk of life that will be represented here.
Beautiful. Now, can you share with people who aren't familiar with this conference and the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences, what is the point of this organization and of the conference?
Yes, my husband, when he was on the earth, he's been in the heaven world for the last few years. He was a canon with the Episcopal Church. He was also a senior tenured religion professor at the university at Concordia. And I came from a background of special education and also someone who's been involved with mediumship and life after death. And so when we met, we really decided to dedicate our lives to helping people understand truth. Who are we? Why are there so many people fighting? You know, we're sitting here and 56 wars are happening, and I'm so concerned about our children who are being starved, who are being murdered, etc. And so we decided that we would form two organizations. One, the Fellowship, which is more ministry, helping people develop their gifts of mediumship, helping people learn how to deal with stress reduction. But my husband's main focus was on the International Institute. And the idea was to help people understand consciousness, to help people ancient religion, ancient philosophy, ancient wisdom can happen right here, right now. So we formed this institute. And as I say, 42 years later, we're still very excited about having this conference.
Beautiful. And now, Dr. Rossner, before we started the interview, you mentioned the importance of speaking about life after death. So can you say more about that?
Yes. Actually, since the age of four, I have really seen into the spirit world. And since I'm a teenager, I have been doing what we call public demonstrations of mediumship, psychic phenomena, life after death. And I am absolutely convinced that when someone knows that life goes on after death, that he or she will not be willing to kill one another. You know, every year for the last 20 years, I spend a couple of months in South Africa trying to help dying children and work with the agencies to help them train their people, because they're working mostly with volunteers. And, you know, when I see what happens to these children, I often wonder, how can people do this? How can we allow children to be born on the streets, to die on the streets? You know, I work with Mother Teresa many times in Calcutta. How can we allow people to hurt one another? And I've really come to the conclusion that what will stop war, what will stop anger, hatred, greed, jealousy, will be for people to know that this is not all that there is. You know, in yoga, I'm from a yoga background. In yoga, we say that this earth life is Maya, which means illusion. And we're here, so we have to do something here. But this life is very short compared to how long we're going to live in the other world. So we've come here with a purpose, with a goal, a mission, and a purpose. And I am convinced, because Spirit has told me so, that we are coming to the place, to the phase on the earth, where the veil between this world and the other world is a very, very thin veil. And also, the good news is, and Spirit has told me that in spite of what's happening in the outside world, that there will not be another world war. But while all these things are happening, there will suddenly be almost like a second Pentecost. People from every walk of life will get a vision, or will hear a voice, or will sense something, and they will say, war no more. So as the veil between this world and the other world becomes more and more thin, more people will know the truth.
Hmm. Thank you, Dr. Rossner. I hope that that is the case. I hope that more people become connected and that we are able to see peace in someone's lifetime soon. But the idea that if everyone believed in life after death, that there would be no war, I mean, aren't a lot of wars because of religion? And
correct.
I mean, the suicide bombers a lot of the suicide bombers believe that there's life after death and that they're going to have 70 virgins after they blow up 1,000 people.
But no one could kill another, whether through terrorism, whether through murder, whether through rape, whether through abuse, whether through training children to become child soldiers, if they really had the experience of life after death. One can have the idea, oh, if I die, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to hell. But if you see into the other world, if you can hear the spirits, you will never, never, never again try to hurt anybody.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Thank you for clarifying that, Marilyn. So you also mentioned that you've done a lot of special education, and you've traveled all over the world, and you've worked with Mother Teresa, you've met the Pope and the Dalai Lama, you have had an incredible career. And I'm wondering if what kind of changes have you seen in the world?
I've seen so many changes. You know, when I was very young and sharing this gift of spirit, I was so determined to bring this truth out that no matter what anybody thought, you know, I was still there. I was doing it. And at our first conference, as I've said, we had over 10,000 people over a 10-day period. But as far as people being willing to talk about life after death, especially men, not very many came to our sessions then. But now, wherever I go, people want so much to hear from someone in the other world. They want to know that their children who died are not dead. They want to know that their husbands, their wives, their partners are not dead. And so I've seen a real change in terms of the openness of people from different traditions. You know, like at our conference, we will have a Muslim, we'll have a Jew, we'll have a Christian, we'll have a Buddhist, we'll have a Hindu, we'll have an agnostic, an atheist, a believer, a non-believer, but they'll all gather together to learn about ancient wisdom, science, and spirituality. So I've seen a lot of change in that. I've also seen a tremendous change in fields of holistic health, more emphasis on nutrition, more realization of personal responsibility. And perhaps I would sum it up by saying, in these last 42 years, I have seen more and more people realizing that there is only one race, and it's the race of all humanity. There is only one tradition that is really going to get us to that place, and that's the tradition of inner love, and that life goes on after the change called death. So I've seen a lot of change. And people are very excited about their ability to participate. And of course, there will always be skeptics, and that's great. To be an open, honest skeptic is great too. But people are more aware that there's something beyond here, or at least they're hoping that there's something beyond here.
Beautiful. Thank you. And we are speaking right now with Dr. Marilyn Rossner, and we're talking about the conference that's happening in Montreal in August. You can find more information on their website, IIIHS.org. That stands for the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences. So can you tell us more about the details of, like, when and where this is all happening?
Yes, the conference will be from August 11th to the 20th, and it will be in Montreal at the Hyatt Hotel. And people can come for an evening or a part of the day. We have sessions morning, afternoon, evening. We have packages for the weekend. We have a 10-day package. Or if people, for instance, want just to see Dr. Patch Adams, so that will be on Friday afternoon. So people have a choice, and we have made arrangements with different hotels, including the conference hotel, including the Presbyterian College, where people can stay at relatively inexpensive rates. So I'm hoping that we'll meet many new people who this year will really be interested in ancient wisdom, science, and spirituality. And really, the whole purpose, if I was going to summarize it in one sentence, it's a wealth of insight for global peace in oneness. Because truly, we're one in the spirit. We're one in the Lord.
Beautiful. Thank you. So I'm curious, Marilyn, who are you most looking forward to hearing from at this conference?
Well, to tell you the truth, I have worked very, very closely with Dr. Raymond Moody. In fact, out of 42 conferences, there was only one he could not attend. So I always love to see Dr. Moody and to hear about his latest research. And, I'm interested in all aspects of it. I'm very interested in quantum physics, people like Dr. Amit Goswami. I'm interested in people like Dr. Bob Alcorn, who's a psychiatrist. You know, I have a passion for psychiatrists. Everybody knows that. I love psychiatry. Dr. Robert Alcorn, who has been working as a shaman, and he does something called soul retrieval. And that's a very powerful technique. We will also have a very famous shaman, Dr. Ed McGaugh, who he's an attorney, an American attorney, and fighting for the rights of the Native people. I love to hear Venerable. It's a real treat. And of course, Patch Adams and Norman Shealy, he's considered the founder of holistic medicine. And people like John Ryan, a medical doctor who's combining medicine and alternative healing. Also, this year, we've had the fortune of being able to make contact with a woman Gisela Kutzberg. She is from Germany, and her specialty is dealing with animals, using psychic ability to work with the healing of animals and getting messages from the animals. And I thought that should be very interesting. We also have a bishop, Kevin Daniels, who's coming in from Baltimore. And he is an educator, but a real swinging bishop, you know. When he praises the Lord, it's almost like you can feel the whole room jumping. So I'm looking forward to hearing from all of them.
Cool. Now, Dr. Amit Goswami, he was on the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, I believe.
Correct, yes.
And do you know specifically what he'll be talking about this August?
Yes, creativity and quantum physics. I mean, he came to us a couple of times already, and he was very close with my husband. He's always talking about his newest research on quantum physics. And so quantum physics and creativity, quantum physics and education, quantum physics and holistic health. And we also have with us, through Dr. Amit Goswami, Dr. Arishna, and she is a physicist, and she's coming from Bulgaria. And he's very excited about her new research. The list goes on and on. Dr. Craig Hogan, he, of course, is one of my very favorites because he has been able to define how mediumship is developed. And he has a series of techniques that people can use to awaken their own abilities. We'll also have a representative from the United Nations, Dr. Elaine Baldoff, and she works with something called Ambassadors for Peace.
Beautiful. So if you are watching on YouTube, I will post a link to the IIIHS website for your convenience. And if you're listening on the radio and you want that link, you can go to the podcast page through citr.ca or my website, mariebenard.com. So Dr. Rossner, I'm wondering, what do you feel like is the most important thing you want people and listeners to understand today?
Yes, to understand that we have an opportunity to go from anger to joy, from hatred to love, from fear to faith, and above all, from the fear of death to the absolute knowledge of immortality. And that's really what I want everybody to know. In our Sanskrit teaching, we say, Asatama Satgamaya, Tamasama Jyotirgamaya, Miturma Amritamgamaya. And we can do it. I want people to know that they have, everyone has, we have, you have, I have, the whole world has that essence, which is the essence of truth and spirituality. And war is not from God. War is not in any way going to bring us to any success. But if we can go inside and listen to who we are, why we have come to this earth, then people will put down, you know, what's called the seven deadly sins, that's anger, yeah, hatred, greed, jealousy, etc. And they will rejoice and know that we are one in the spirit and we are one in the Lord. And we're all on a journey. We've come to earth with a certain number of footsteps, with a certain number of breaths. When those footsteps are over, when those breaths are over, we're going to go somewhere. And I want people to know where they're going. You know, Marie, I always say if people are going to another nation to visit for the first time, they'll ask questions like, what is the weather like? What should I bring? How can I be prepared? We need to know the weather. We need to know what we have to do to be prepared that when we die, we will hear the words, well done, my faithful servant, well done.
So I'm curious, Marilyn, you obviously have a very strong belief in life after death, and you've spoken about mediumship as well. And I'm wondering if you can share a specific story of why you so strongly believe in this through your experience.
Yes, I can tell you. I come from an Orthodox Jewish family. I come from a Holocaust family. And when I was 6 years old, I began to see people, and I started telling my family, my mother, my father, I come from a wonderful family in terms of, we were very poor in money, if you would think of being poor, But we were so rich because my parents were very strong believers. And I come from Quebec, Montreal. And in the area where I was born, we were surrounded by many of the nuns and the priests, because this is a very Catholic province. And I was brought up to respect everybody and to love everybody. But at age 6, I began to see into the other world. Of course, I did not know it was another world. I just started telling my mother, my father, you know, I talked to so-and-so, and they were quite startled. They said, what do you mean? And then I started giving the names and the descriptions, and my parents had no idea what to do. I mean, they really had no education. They had love in their hearts and very strong beliefs. So they did what was the only thing they could do, and they took me to a rabbi. And I still can remember looking at that rabbi, and he put his hand not on my head, but a few inches above my head. And he said to my parents, she has come with a very special gift. Take good care of her. That was it. And my parents did just that. They didn't understand why I was doing what I was doing, but they believed because they had the proof. And then when I was a very young teenager, I happened to meet Swami Vishnu Devananda from the Shivananda ashrams, and he founded many of these ashrams, of course. And he understood why from age 6, I have never touched meat, fish, chicken, eggs, or anything like that, because I had a vision. And I feel that, you know, I've had such joy all my life only because I know who I am, why I'm here. I know what my purpose is, special education, yoga, and letting people know that life goes on after death. So in my work, you know, I have seen so many people so unhappy, so much depression, so much hopelessness, so much helplessness, and I really want to help change that.
Thank you, Marilyn. So you mentioned that you had a vision that led you not to eat animal products. Can you tell us more specifically about that vision?
I will never forget that. I was 6 years old. And I don't know if you'd call it a dream or a vision, but I saw chickens, and the chickens were being murdered one after the other. And then I heard a voice that said, you must never eat dead animals. And that was it. And I told that to my parents, and I would never touch any dead animal.
Thank you.
And I've never even thought of it. To tell you the truth, I cannot imagine how people can eat a dead animal. So I'm a very big pusher for people eating properly. No junk, proper nutrition. You know, from the yoga perspective, we talk about proper exercise, proper nutrition, meditation, positive thinking, and being kind to one another. I've been trained for years and years and years through Swami Vishnu Devananda. I traveled the world with him, actually. It's when I was very young. And he, in fact, was very close with my husband. And my husband was also practicing yogi and the Episcopal priest, as I've said. And my husband was also very pure vegetarian. And I should say that at our home, we don't allow any dead animals at the center, no dead animals. You know, because I believe if I'm not going to eat dead animals. I don't want to serve dead animals to anybody. And that's another, you asked before about the change. So many people now are interested in vegetarianism.
Beautiful. So I'm wondering, I mean, you've traveled all over the world and you've met so many amazing people. I'd love to hear just more stories about how does it feel when you're working with these people, or is there a story of one child that you've...
Oh, well, stories, I could tell stories about all my children, but I was very, very, very moved and still am of my experiences with Mother Teresa. I was in the convent. I used to, you know, be with the nuns every morning, 4:30 for mass, etc. And I had a great opportunity to get to know her and to be with the children. We used to pick up the children, the babies from the garbage cans and, you know, hold them. And 50% of them would go into heaven very quickly. The other 50% didn't. And once a week, mothers or guardians who couldn't take care of their children, they would bring their children to the outside of the convent, and Mother would say to us, some people think these people are very, very mean, they're bad parents. But she'd say, no, she'd say to us, look, they're giving us their most precious possession because they know they can't take care of them. And so she would say, you know, that we have the opportunity to take care of them. But I had a very interesting experience. I really wanted to spend a year with her. And my husband was with me, and my husband said, sure. So I went to Mother, and I said, I was holding the brochure of the Institute, and I said, Mother, I've spoken with Father John, he's right here, and I would love to spend a year helping with these children. And she took my two hands, she was very tiny, like I am, she took my two hands, and she said, thank you, but I cannot accept you. And I must say, I was absolutely startled. I had a graduate degree. I was developing all kinds of behavioral programs, yoga programs. I couldn't understand. And she looked and she said, let me tell you why. She said, here you see abject poverty. You see people starving. But in your country, there is spiritual poverty. And spiritual poverty is worse than physical poverty. Go back to your country and help your children. I was so moved by that.
Wow. So Mother Teresa turned you away and said, go back to Canada.
That's right. That's right. Of course, I kept on going back to work with her, but she would not let me take a year off to work with her. That's very, you know, I mean, I've had so many, many experiences that have been so touching. Well, perhaps I can tell you, you know, as I said, every year for 20 years, I spend time in South Africa. So in one of the agencies, not long ago, there was a boy and he had no vision. And of course, being trained in special education, I knew how to talk with him, work with him. And he said to me, would you like to know how I became blind? And I said, well, if you'd like to tell me, sure. And he started shouting. He said, I had eyes. But someone shot me in one eye, and then I got blind, and then went to the other eye. And then he started screaming, and he said, but I'm very glad I'm blind. You want to know why it's good to be blind? And I'll never forget his words. He said, you see, when I had eyes, I was living on the streets. I had to steal to eat, and I had no place to sleep. But since I'm blind, he said, look, I have a place to stay. And I get three meals a day. So go tell everybody it's good to be blind. I mean, I have so many stories about these children that are just incredible. I have another story. One morning, a group of children, they would come to meet me. And this little group would say, they would call me Auntie Marilyn. Can you buy us some shoes? So first we would have breakfast. I would arrange for them to have breakfast. And then I'd say, okay, I'm going to get them some shoes. And the manager of the hotel, I stay in a very simple hotel, of course. The manager of the hotel said, Marilyn, what are you doing? You don't know where these kids are going to take you. I said, I'm sure God and the spirit world will help me. So they took me, I don't know to this day where they took me, but we went up the hill, down the hill, et cetera. Anyways, I got them shoes. And when I came back, I said to the manager, well, these children took me to some places, but we found a place and we bought shoes. And he said to me, you know, Marilyn, tomorrow the same children will be back for shoes again. And he said, you don't believe us, but we know these children. Well, the next morning, they were really there waiting for me. And they said, can you buy us shoes? And I said, look, gang, I said, you guys are just great. But, you know, we bought shoes yesterday. Maybe there's something else you would like. And then one boy said, you know, we can trust you. Do you want to know what we did with the shoes? And I said, of course. So they took me, and really, I have no idea where they took me, but they took me. And I will never forget this, Marie. I saw huge, huge, it looked like mountains, but not mountains, like huge, huge areas of garbage, garbage, garbage. And on the top, there were little children, and they were sitting on the garbage. And one boy said, you see, Auntie Marilyn, these children have not learned. They said, these children have not learned how to steal or how to beg. So we do it for them. We gave them our shoes. That tells it all.
Wow.
That tells it all. That really tells it all. And I can tell you that the children that I work with there, if we give them fruit, we give them food, they will not eat their food until they go to one who's more handicapped and they try to help feed the other children.
And in what country is this?
South Africa.
South Africa.
This coming year, God willing, it'll be my 21st year of going there. And I spend 6 weeks, sometimes 2 months, and I'm trying to help support 7 different agencies for orphans, for acting out children, for dying children, children born with SIDA, with the virus, etc.
Wow. It's amazing how, like you were saying about your family, how you didn't have a lot of money, but you were very rich in...
No money at all, you know. We didn't have a fridge. We had an icebox. We never had a television. My parents never owned a home. They never had a car. But they had such faith in God, such faith in the Creator. And we were taught to love everyone, not to criticize, not to condemn. And that's really the way I was brought up. And I have a sister who works as a therapist, and she has very much the same attitude as I do. My brother, he's in heaven. He was very much the same way. We all came out like that, wanting to do something for humanity.
So Marilyn, you've mentioned heaven a few times, and I'm wondering, what does that look like to you?
Beautiful a question. You see, there are 7 spheres, 7 lokas or planes of consciousness, whatever you want to call it, above and 7 below. You know, I often give lectures on a subject like life, death, judgment, heaven or hell. Now, heaven and hell, as Pope John Paul II said, are not places, but they are states of consciousness, states of mind. So depending upon the spirit contact that I'm making, I can sometimes see someone who's lost, who doesn't even know that he or she is dead, or I can see sometimes people in the highest realms, like Christ, like Mother Mary, like people who have lived a very pure life. So the spirit world is a very real world and a very active world. In the spirit world, there are spirit houses, spirit laboratories, spirit schools, and what we haven't finished here, we will try to finish there. The last thoughts we have before we go into the other world are the first thoughts we will have when we wake up in the other world. And dying feels just like falling asleep. And actually, the spirits tell us, they say, you call us the dead. We're not the dead. You people are the living dead, they say. They come through with the message, we are not dead. We are here to help. And in the spirit world, depending upon what they're doing, they can become a spirit guide. They may be carrying out an experiment. They still may be doing something that they haven't finished here. And of course, there are lost souls, and that is really true. There are lost souls, people who don't know they're dead, people who have been involved in murder, hatred. And when they die, they're in a shock because they come face to face with all the tragedy that they have caused. And they try to get the forgiveness of everybody that they have hurt before they can go to a place of rest and then eventually carry on.
So Marilyn, I'm curious, what do you think is the difference or the reason why you are able to see these things and other people aren't? Like, I'm not able to see those things.
That is a very, very good question and something that I think I know the answer. You see, from 6 years old, I have consciously seen into the other world. At 4, I had other visitations, but I was never told not to do it. I was never told something was wrong with me. I was never told anything like that. You know, with my children, I have been with children all over the world, all ages, all levels of consciousness, very sick children, very healthy children, etc. All of us are born with this ability because the 3 basic gifts that we come to Earth with are clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentience. Now, most people, especially until a few years ago, were ashamed when they had visitations. They were ashamed to talk about it because people thought they were crazy. people would say, well, you can't tell anybody. They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to lock you up. You know, people didn't understand much about mental illness. Thank God they understand more about it now. So people became afraid. And then the other thing is this tremendous fear of this devil. Someone's out to get you. Someone's out to get you. So people push down the gift. But the truth is, it never goes away. We have to learn how to sort of clean it up a little bit, just let it come out. So there are many techniques that I've developed and other people have developed for people to learn how to rediscover their gifts. And by the way, once one rediscovers the gift, one is not going to try to hurt anybody at all. You can't, it's impossible. If you know that you know that you know that you're going to face one another, you're not going to hurt that person.
My allergies are consuming me this season. The only time they don't seem to be bothering me is when I'm reading Discord or magazine. Check out the June edition. Features an interview with Only a Visitor, and also the Shilohs. You find out how you can impact the music festival lineup diversity. What it's like living at the intersection of the queer and indigenous communities, and about how the tenants union is combating the rental crisis in Vancouver. Thanks to our advertisers, Timber Concerts, Mid Records, The Rio, Rastafest, The Rickshaw, and Live Van.
Come out to the Astoria on Sunday, June 25th for A Warm Embrace by Brooklyn's Cuddle Magic on tour in support of their latest album, Ashes, Axes. I like a slow ride. They're joined by Mono from Halifax and local support Booker T on Acid. Doors are at 8, bands are on at 9, but the fun never stops. This event is put on by CITR and Discorder. It's 19 plus only.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Right now we are speaking with Dr. Marilyn Rossner. And she is the co-founder of the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences, and they are having their annual conference in Montreal this August, August 2017. And I will post a link. The website is IIIHS.org. Now, Marilyn, you told us the story about those beautiful children who in South Africa who were giving their shoes away to children who needed them even more. And you live in Canada. We're pretty well off here. And yet there does seem to be a lot of struggle to make ends meet and keep for people to keep their heads above water. And I'm curious, just in your opinion or your observation, what I notice is here we do our best to give, many of us, but there's a limit because we have to take care of ourselves.
So
what's the difference between people here living in the first world where we'll give a small percentage to help others but keep most for ourselves versus those children who don't even have shoes, they give away the shoes?
Right. Well, that's just the difference. But I see that changing here, actually. I see more people are becoming more open to helping one another. I think it's also an attitude. You know, many people have the idea that they don't have to help anybody. And until we realize that we are one in the spirit, the only difference between you and me or any of us is the body. The body is not real. I mean, it's real physically, but our spirit is in this body. The body is just our coat. And until we realize that, then we try to keep everything to ourselves. But the truth is, what can we take with us? All we take with us is our character, our personality. And when we go into the other world, no one asks us, how much money did you have? How many buildings did you buy? But the question is, What have you done for humanity? And that's what Dr. Raymond Moody calls the personal life review, because as we are coming out of our body and getting ready to go from this world into the other world, we become aware of every thought, every action, every word that we have ever entered into. And people talk about it as a tunnel going down a tunnel. It's not exactly a tunnel from how I see it, but the energy moves so quickly that there's light, light, light all around. Mirrors, mirrors, mirrors symbolically all around. And so when we know that we are carrying on into the eternal life, we have a complete different attitude. And that's what all the great masters, avatars taught. That's the teaching of Jesus, really. The teaching of the great metaphysicians, the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, the great Sufis. It's all the same, that we are connected and we are truly one. Until we realize that we are one, then we think we try to live in a separate way, that my house is bigger than your house, my genes are more expensive than your genes. But at a certain point, we realize none of that matters. That's what we call in yoga maya or illusion.
So Marilyn, how do you recommend, or what do you think that people should do when it comes to, I mean, there's nothing wrong with earning money and buying possessions, especially if you're earning money in a way that is in line with our values.
Of course.
But where do we draw the line between accumulating security and possessions and giving back?
This is a wonderful question. I mean, we realize we all need funds. I need a lot of funds to go to Africa to help support 7 agencies. So I'm always asking, can you please help? Can you bring this? Can you, you know, get me clothes for the children, et cetera, et cetera. So, but if we realize that we're, what do we need for ourselves? We need very little, really. We can live with very possession. If we realize that we have that soul connection, then we're going to keep what we need and we're going to share with others. And the great teachings all say the same thing. And I see that happening more and more now. I really do see that happening more and more. You know, my work with kids, adolescents all over the world, I mean, they're doing it. You know, every year since 1972, I started that program at the Shivananda Ashram, a camp program for children. And every year the program goes on. And there are children there from all over the world. And they learn about respecting all, loving all, and giving to all. So, you know, if we share, then from our heart, if we give from our heart, it'll just spread. It's like spread the love, spread the love, spread the love.
Thank you, Marilyn. And if, is there a question, if there's a question that you're hoping that I might ask you, what would that be?
Well, it would be really what we've been talking about. The most important thing on earth, what is it? The most important thing for me, what is it? And what can we each do to help go from hatred to love? And I think you've asked it.
Beautiful. I would like to expand on that a little bit more as far as the individuals here in North America and in the Western world. What can we as individuals do to most contribute while still functioning in our consumerist society? Because this is the thing is, I kind of feel like we're not, everyone wants to have to compete with the neighbors, but this is the world that we're in. So how do we bridge the gap between this world and that more ideal world?
We can break the idea of having to compete with our neighbors by realizing truth. If we know truth, then we don't have to compete with our neighbors. But what we can each do is ask, what is it that I need to be comfortable, to be, you know, to fulfill? If the question is, who am I? Why have I come to this earth? What is the purpose of this earth body? What is the purpose of this earth life? And when I go into the other world, in Judaism, we say, what legacy will you leave? What is the legacy? What can we do to help one another, to serve one another, to serve? We say, the great master Shivananda said, we come to earth to serve, love, give, purify, meditate, and realize. And when we know that, of course we want to help one another. But I really see that happening more and more and more, and especially among our children, especially among our youth.
Thank you, Marilyn. Can you say more about what do you mean by especially among our youth?
Yes, very much so. Our young people, they want so much to encourage one another. They want so much. I mean, among our children are not born hating one another because of a different race or religion or culture. I mean, that is all taught. No one is born, you know, to hate one another. We come to earth as pure. Our souls are pure. We are as much soul today as we're going to be after the change called death. And our young people know that. You know, every summer at the yoga ashram, at the yoga camp, I mean, we have 70, 80, 100 children, every color, every race, every nationality, and they play together and pray together and run together and fall together and eat together and share together. And that's really what I see in South Africa as well. And by the way, those children, thousands of children that I've seen in India over the years, they were like that as well. And I spent a lot of time in the former Soviet Union, and I spent a lot of time specifically in the Department of Psychiatry there. I was helping to reorganize their department and to teach them about behavior modification, cognitive behavior therapy. And I saw that among the children there, no matter where I have gone, the children, our children, they're so pure. Their soul is so pure. And they haven't had time to be filled with anger, hate, greed, and jealousy. That is taught. So what's happening now, because we're moving into a more subtle level of consciousness, more people are not willing to buy into other people's ideas. Look how many people now are speaking for the rights of animals. You know, today, by the way, I heard about all these chickens in Vancouver, and I was quite taken with that because it was that vision of the chickens that started my vegetarian story when I was 6 years old. And I mean, this is what's happening. People are becoming more concerned about taking care of one another. And I really see that. Of course, we have street people here in Montreal. We have people who feel helpless, of course. But I see fewer people who are judging them. I see more people sitting down with them and talking with them, offering them a cup of tea instead of judging them.
Marilyn, what is the deal with the chickens in Vancouver? I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, millions of chickens have been treated terribly. They've been abused, and that's what's happening to the chickens out there.
Mm. Well, that's not very surprising, unfortunately.
I was quite startled when I heard that story because I thought, oh my God, it takes me right back to when I was 6 years old and I saw these chickens.
One great thing in Vancouver is that we are allowed, I'm personally not allowed in my yard, but you're allowed to have, I think, up to 2 hens.
Okay.
In your own yard. So if you want fresh eggs and for those chickens to be treated well, you can have them.
Very good.
If you're blessed enough to have the space. So Marilyn, I'm curious. I mean, you've traveled all over the world. You've seen some of the most economically poor parts of the world. And I'm wondering if you have a vision we live in a pretty capitalist society. Sure. But as far as like solving the world's problems on an economic basis, what sort of social construct would we need in order to do that?
Well, it comes back for me always the same way. What we need to do is realize, first of all, who we are. And then if we know who we are, we're out there to serve one another, to help one another. So, and I always go back to the whole philosophy of yoga. You know, yoga comes from the Sanskrit word yog, which means to unite body, mind, and spirit. And so if we are whole within ourselves, we want to help one another. So I think we have to look at always who we are and doing the very best we can. But I'm very encouraged because wherever I go, I see more and more of this. So, I mean, the whole construct we really are coming to, I'd like to say me, but that we're coming to is that we realize that we are all connected. We're all one. Swami Vishnudevananda used to say, we're either going to all live as one or we're going to die as one. And that's the truth.
Thank you, Marilyn. And so, I'm sure that everyone who listens to this show has at least the idea in our minds that we are all one. But I know from myself, I struggle with financial issues. I struggle with depression issues. And so there are the moments when I feel one with everything are very, very small in comparison to the times when it's just an intellectual concept. So how does one truly get to that place where they're living that all the time?
Wonderful question. Very important question. I think St. Paul from the scripture says to be in the world and not of the world. And how we can do that is through the repetition of the holy sound, like using a mantra, or if you're from a Catholic tradition, repeating of the rosary. We have a Catholic nun who lives with us, and she's with her rosary, and she's just always, you know, smiling and singing and praising the Lord, or being able to use a different technique. There's so many different techniques to be able to be literally in this world, but not of this world. So we become the observers of our experience. In cognitive behavior therapy, we say we learn to stop, think, stop, talk inside the head and watch what you're doing. Listen to what you're saying. So you become the observer of the experience. And in that state, there is no depression. In that state, there is that inner peace. So the question is, what can we do to get to that state? From my perspective, I mean, I'll always talk about yoga because that's my discipline. I'll always talk about relaxation techniques or using certain bandhas, certain holds that we, you know, put chin to chest, working with different chakras, etc. But there are different ways of doing it. My husband is an Episcopal priest. He used to use certain chants, certain songs. And of course, he was also practicing yogi. So there are definite ways. Some people use looking at symbols or working with mandalas, or some people will use even different crystals or different stones like that. It doesn't matter which way. It's just to get out of the head, to stop worrying, to stop thinking, and just to be.
Thank you, Marilyn. So it sounds like some kind of practice, some kind of mindfulness practice that gets you connected with your body and out of that analytical mind.
Absolutely. Whether it's yoga, whether it's qigong, whether it's listening to particular sounds, repeating the mantra, looking at the flame, the idea is not to be focused on what the mind is thinking, to go beyond. Father John always said, we have to learn to go beyond the mind. And if we go beyond the mind, then it means what? It means we are in the spirit. Once we're in the spirit, we see truth, we hear truth, we experience truth. And in truth, there is only peace and love and light.
Thank you so much, Marilyn. Well, we are running out of time. We are speaking right now with Dr. Marilyn Rossner. She's the co-founder of the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences, and they are having their annual conference in Montreal this August 2017. Their website is iihs.org. And Marilyn, what thoughts or what would you like to...
I didn't hear you. What did I
What would you most like to leave us with today?
Yes, the idea that we are all one, and I want very much to encourage people to attend our event, to learn about it, and to meet these people, and to be able to leave from the conference knowing that we are one, not just learning about it, experiencing it. So I want to encourage everybody to participate, and I would like to encourage the whole world really to say, our true nature is a nature of peace and love and light and oneness, courage and strength. And whatever has happened yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us learn to rejoice and just keep on being happy.
Thank you so much, Marilyn. I just had a thought before I let you go. Not everyone obviously is able to get to Montreal. Do you have any plans to turn this into a global online event in the future?
Well, perhaps, but we do have access to tapes and videos. Everything is taped, everything is videoed, and has been for the last 42 years.
Oh, beautiful. And if people want to access or purchase those, where would they find
them? They would write to us. Wonderful. And if people want more information, they can call, send us an email, and we'll be glad to encourage everybody. And by the way, our conference is translated also into Spanish and French.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No, I want to thank you so very much for the wonderful work that you do and have been doing. And I really consider it a great privilege to have had this opportunity to meet you at least this way. And perhaps we can invite you to come to our conference.
Hopefully sometime in the future.
Thank you very, very much, Marie. God bless.
Thanks so much, Marilyn. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you to Marilyn Rossner for being with us today. Again, the website is iiihs.org if you're interested in more information. And thank you for sharing your time, your presence, and your heart with us. I want to send you lots of love. Be well. Namaste.
Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips. But are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy. A watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
Three women, dressed in lingerie, were hanging from the ceiling on meat hooks. In an adjacent room, a man was in bed with two deceased females, also wearing lingerie. He positioned their arms in a sexy embrace. Down the hall, a man holding a chainsaw stood over the motionless body of a sixth woman, lying on a table covered in plastic. These are scenes from a popular music video by a Grammy Award-winning artist. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like entertainment? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
For
the very best in bluegrass music, plus classic country, Cajun, rockabilly, western swing, and whatever jumps off the shelves at us. Tune in every Tuesday morning at 6:30 for Pacific Pickin' with your host, Arthur Berman.
And I'm Andrea.
The lovely Andrea, who will also provide you with our concert calendar and every bit of news and information you can possibly need. And as if that wasn't enough, there's a warm-up show at 6 featuring a little bit of a wider variety of roots and branches of bluegrass music. So tune in each morning, 6 for the warm-up show, 6:30 for the main show, Pacific Pickin' on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
You're listening to 101.9 CITR. Ah, there's so many people in the Student Union building. I thought school was over, but they keep coming back. This is The Parts Unknown.